Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
And with that, we're off and rolling on a Friday morning. Betty, can I hear that? I gotta hear that one again.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
So the reference there is somebody asked Jerry Jones if there was a potential of Dez Bryant coming back to the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. And his answer was, go ahead, Benny.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
He's been thinking about it a lot in the shower. Interesting. Interesting.
I mean, do you find yourself doing a lot of reflecting and thinking and ruminating in the shower?
No. Like, I don't know about you, but I am in and out of the shower. Like, I mean, I get the soap in the appropriate areas. I borrow soap over the top of the head. I literally am in the shower for no more. Like, a long shower for me is 3 minutes.
Get out. Really?
Yeah.
You're like a Navy shower.
Yeah, I'm just in and out, man. I have no interest in being in there for any length of time. Just place soap on the feet, in the bits and the pieces areas, under the pits, over the top of the head.
And out you go.
Boom. Out I'm at.
Huh. Well, it probably will not surprise you that I like to linger.
Mm-hmm. That does not surprise me.
Yeah, I'm not in a hurry.
Scott, do you take long showers too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And do linger.
And both of you guys, you got wispy hair and you're going bald.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any correlation.
Well, I don't wash my hair like 8 times.
No,
but
that water's beating down on your giant melon. I mean, there's no way it can't be hitting you right in the head. Giant head.
I just sit in there just contemplating my mistakes in life.
You do? Do you think about guys like Dez Bryant and, your other fantasy football guys that you have on your fantasy
I've been
team
thinking about it a lot in the shower.
No, no, I do not.
Okay. That's good.
God bless Jerry Jones. Where would Millennial Ben be without Jerry Jones? All right, so we're off and rolling here on this Friday morning. Is it just me Friday? And we thought we'd get loose yesterday. We ended up having one of our more deep discussions, which I really enjoyed, by the way.
By the way, I read one more thing. I think it was Pro Football Talk that put out one of the things that hasn't been mentioned in this CBA. And again, these are why the big money guys are angry and why they oppose it. 65% of the players that play in the National Football League are minimum wage guys. And this is going to significantly increase from under $400,000 a year for just under $500,000, high fours as minimum wage to almost $700,000. So 65% of those guys are making that. That's why this will ratify, right? And those guys don't hold out. You don't hold out when you're one of those guys, right? One of the other language issues in this contract that the big money players have is it essentially eliminates holdouts. So you know how they can sign you to a contract and cut you the next year? Well, if you sign that deal, it's honor the contract, because then it becomes, if you decide to hold out, let's say you're in year 3 of a 5-year deal and you've been all pro both years and you've completely outperformed that contract and you want a new deal, it's $40,000 a day that you miss camp, and the organization, through the CBA, they can't rescind those fines. So it used to just be they would rescind the fines. Now it's, hey, you can't take them back. So if you hold out for, you hold out for 10 days, that's a $400,000 check you have to write.
Man, is it just me? Is it just me Friday where we give you a chance to get everything off your chest heading off into the weekend? Hit us up on the RonaldSlaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Just give it to us in the form of, is it just me? Or is it just me? Or are these NFL owners, man, I mean, they are just ruthless because it's not like they need to, you know, tighten the vise on the players because their league is struggling. They are booming like never before.
Right.
They are awash in cash. I mean, the golden goose couldn't be any more golden, and they're still looking to tighten the screws.
DeMorris,
ruthless.
Was
diabolical.
Was it Rocky II or Rocky III Apollo Creed's trainer that was, you can't win! Like, that's DeMorris Smith right now. I don't remember which Rocky that was.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Might have been when Apollo Creed was originally fighting, Ivan Drago.
No. You can't win was,
maybe it was Rocky fighting Drago and.
Was that Adrian?
No.
It was
Apollo Creed's trainer who came to help train Rocky.
Says you can't win?
Yeah, you can't win like that. Mm. You don't remember it?
I should.
Our texters will help us out.
I feel great shame that I'm not.
Our texters will help us out.
I'm curious as to what people do in the shower. Because we're getting a lot of this now.
Uh-huh.
Is it just me? I win a lot of fake arguments in the showers. Tony from Greeley.
Good, yeah.
That, yeah. Oh, if only I'd said that.
Right.
Is it just me, or do we now know why they call him Stink?
No. I mean, I'm telling you. I'm soaping up the bits, the pieces, the feet. He's soaping all the right areas.
Taking the shirt off.
All the right areas, people.
Is it just me, or every Friday I have to turn down my radio because of the Culture Club song?
Shame on you.
What is the matter with you?
Who signed that? Satan?
Yeah. Signed Lucifer.
Right.
Signed Beelzebub.
Beelzebub. Huh? Beelzebub?
Was Apollo to Rocky against Clubber Lang?
Beelzebub.
Or was it, I think it was Mickey telling Rocky he couldn't beat Mr. T.
No. It was Apollo Creed's original trainer that said it to somebody.
I thought Adrian said it.
No. Oh my gosh. Now you're just embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah.
Beelzebub. It's like, what is this? Is this a new character in the new Beetlejuice movie coming up?
No, isn't
Beelzebub.
How do you say it again?
Beelzebub.
Beelzebub?
Yeah, not Beelzebub. Beelzebub.
Nah. How can you?
Go ahead, close enough.
How can you be the king of hell if you're called Beelzebub?
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, get out of here, man.
The twins vote no.
Hey. It's me, Beelzebub. Hey, you're not supposed to be over here.
Hey, you did a lot of bad things in your life. Welcome to hell. I'm Beelzebub.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you don't have a menacing voice if your name is Beelzebub.
Is it just me, or was the devil's riff better than...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
I thought the devil whooped Johnny.
I didn't think Johnny stood a chance.
No.
I thought the devil's was better.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
But yeah, Johnny came away with the golden fiddle.
Yeah, I think it was a setup. I really do.
All right. We are off and rolling with these Is It Just Me's. A lot to get to, and Is It Just Me, or after Henry Ruggs' performance yesterday, is everybody dying for him to be a Bronco? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
All right, here we go. Is It Just Me Friday? Get those hot sports opinions to us. Give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me, and away we go. Well, no surprise, Henry Ruggs runs a very, very fast 40 time. Not the fastest of all time.
Right.
He said he's going to break the record.
Right.
Did not set the record, but still came in like a 4.27 or something like that?
4.28, I believe.
And so, of course, that has everybody salivating at the idea of, oh, that's
that's the guy for the Broncos. If they get a 15, he'll stretch the field, the vertical threat.
Mm-hmm.
All because of a 40 time.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, the tape matches it with Henry Ruggs. Like, he's a football player, right? So that's a good sign. But here's just the thing. You know what running a great 40 makes you? Fast? Fast. It's no indication of whether you're going to be a great football player or not. Right? I heard the drive and the guys in the afternoon on Fantasy Island talking about, oh, my gosh, Herbert or Hey-Bear or whatever the hell his name is. 471, elite quarterback speed. There's a big difference. It's going to be Josh Allen or, you know, I'm like, oh, whoop-de-doo,
really?
Hazel. Yeah, let's hope.
So Justin Herbert's going to run an offense that's ranked 22nd in the NFL?
Yeah, well, but he's got elite quarterback speed.
Oh.
You know what that makes you? Doesn't make you a good quarterback. It makes you fast. That's all. So here are the top 10 40s in the history of the NFL. You tell me about these names and what you think of these players. John Ross, 4-2-2. He hasn't scored a drop of piss in the bucket yet. Now, hey, Chris Johnson was good for a while, really good. 4-2-4, right? Running back from the Tennessee Titans. Rondell Mendez.
Ooh.
Yeah, Rondell Mendez. 4-2-4. Let's see. Drafted by the Falcons, retired a year later. 2 years later. Dree Archer, remember him? Little running back / wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, okay, yep.
Yeah, played in 20 NFL games, but he's really fast. Mm-hmm. Jerome Mathis, 4-2-6. Yeah, I mean, you flying. He played 17 games over 3 seasons out of the league. Hey, Marquise Goodwin. He's made a pretty nice career for himself. Got drafted in 2014. Is one of the fastest guys, but not an elite. He's like a number 3 and has been. From Buffalo, and now he's in San Francisco, but he's strung together a really nice season for himself. Ah, Stanford Rout, DB, Oakland, 4-2-7, man. Played 8 seasons, was never really a big time contributor, played in 119 games, but was a decent player. And then Champ Bailey, who was a Hall of Famer and one of the great ones. Jacoby Ford, 4-2-8. Played in 38 games over 4 seasons. Jalen Myrick. Good old Jalen Myrick.
All right,
he's played 5 games and he currently is playing in the XFL.
All right, you made your point. But the thing with Ruggs is that he has the production, he has the pedigree.
Yes.
To go along with the speed.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make his time resonate even more? I mean, does that become a guy you want to go get? Because you have a need. They need receivers. They want to go down the field. They could use that home run threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could use their Tyreek Hill. I mean, even in a deep receiver class.
Yeah.
You know, the idea being that, okay, but this might be the guy.
Right. The point being is that just speed alone it should not elevate a guy at all.
No.
Now the speed that matches the film, and Henry Ruggs has the film, then you have something. Then there's something good there. And he does. He's a football player, man. He just happens to be really fast. But to get enamored, I watch some of the combine stuff, and you know, I'm watching some drills, and I'm watching the quarterbacks throw, and I'm watching them throw fade routes. I'm watching this, that, and the other. And the bottom line, the more I watch it, and I know the guys in the afternoon had the draft combine. I listened to that a little bit of why they were discussing that. You know, the more I watch it, yeah, you could see fluidity of movement on a guy. I think that's important. Fluidity of movement and all these things. But the bottom line, man, is this whole combine thing to me is somewhat of a joke.
Hey, you could call it a joke, but you know that there are people at the top of the draft. You have the scouts for those teams at the top of their draft who are banging the table saying Justin Herbert's going to be a better pro than Joe Burrow.
Oh, sure.
Because of yesterday.
You know, somebody hit 44 reps. The guard from Fresno State hit 44 reps in the bench press test. What are the top 10 bench pressers? Want to hear the names? Stephen Paella, 2011.
I remember that name.
Yeah, he's bounced around the league. He's been a good backup defensive tackle. Mitch Petras, 2010, offensive lineman, played in 27 games. Jeff Owens in 2010, right?
Jeff Owens.
Yeah, I don't
what
believe.
What a career.
Yeah, I don't believe he played. Don Terry Poole.
Yeah.
He hit like 44 reps, and he's had a nice career. Russell Bodine, he bounced around with 42 reps. He's been a offensive lineman, and, you know, he started some games and had a decent. Philip Harrison, 2018. Nicknamed Horrible Harry. I mean, right?
Right.
I mean, Tank Tyler.
Tank Tyler?
Tank Tyler.
That's a great name, though.
Yeah, it's a good name.
You know, somebody gave him that nickname in high school when he was bench pressing full. Man, you're a tank!
David Mulock.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, the point being is that, hey, so you're strong. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, look, the Broncos, the Rams, they may be starting a trend here that really kind of shines a light on what exactly this combine is. It's a tool. It's a way to help in the process.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Don't get led around by your nose by it.
Right.
Right. You know, the Broncos and Rams didn't send their assistant coaches. And that's a statement right there. That
does
look,
it?
let's not make it bigger than it really is.
Here it is. Does that 4.28 by Henry Ruggs? Does that match the film? That, like, this is more of an elimination process to me than it is an affirmation process. Does that speed that he showed in his underpants, does that translate to the film? If it doesn't, then the guy's a track guy.
Well, yeah, then right. Remember when the Raiders would do that all the time.
Oh, you know,
just draft
the biggest, fastest guy.
Or the 49ers brought in Ronaldo Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Who was a great track star at the time. Oh, he runs fast. Let's turn him into a receiver.
Hey, does the guy, like, hey, man, I played years with Tommy Nalen. Tommy Nalen, and I've said this before, Tommy Nalen, when it came to actually lifting, like bench pressing and stuff, weak as a kitten, comparatively speaking, to the rest of the offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't do any of this stuff.
Well, you know,
one of the strongest on-field players I've ever played with from a leverage standpoint, understanding leverage standpoint, and just absolutely dispensing justice from a strength standpoint on the field. He didn't have weight room skills. He had on the field skills. And you know what? If you'd have looked at his bench press test at the combine, you go, oh, no, this guy, man. That's why he's probably drafted in the seventh round or sixth round or whatever, right? But on tape, if you looked at it, you go, oh, shoot, he plays really strong. On tape, he plays really strong. Like, some of these guys are going to have these unbelievable bench press tests, and you go, like, oh, my God, this guy's a powerhouse. Can you transfer it to the field? Some guys can't.
Anybody ever catch Jerry Rice from behind?
No.
Mm-mm. And he ran like what, a
4.6?
4.6 or something like that?
Terrell Davis, 4.65. You ever see him break a 70 or 80 yarder?
Few.
Anybody catch him? Nope.
Yeah, but that was because that left guard blew open such a big hole.
And then just stood there, all lazy and fat.
Yeah.
And started sauntering down to kick a field goal or an extra point.
He didn't have to run a 40.
That's right.
Up next. It's the Morning Brew. We'll get the latest on where Mark's boy Tom Brady might be ending up. The Rockies lose, but did we see a new and improved Kyle Freeland? And might it be time to start calling him Teflon Tad Boyle? That's next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Bay with the rebound. And if the Bucks get a bucket here, it'll just be a cosmetic score. Parquet's shot is short. Bradley collects it. And it's a W for Cal. They knock off Colorado. 76-62 is the final.
Cal Bears Radio. You know, while everybody's been patting Tad Boyle on the back, hey, Tad, thanks for staying here. Thanks for being committed to CU. Thanks for being a Buff lifer. While all that's been going on, his Buffs have gone 2-3 in their last five games and easily could have been 2-4 if not for a big comeback when they were down
16 points at home to Stanford. Hey, I love that Tad Boyle is committed to CU. He needs to coach a little better because this team, which should be a Sweet 16 caliber team, is limping into March Madness.
You think that's on tap?
Hey, if we're going to give Tad Boyle all the credit when things are going well, he doesn't escape it when things are going poorly.
Where are they in the Pac-12? Where are they ranking-wise in the Pac-12? Because I know
before they lost these back-to-back games, they were first. But let's go to the next round. I'll come back and I'll update that as we move along. Next on the Morning Brew.
I felt great. Command was great. I mostly wanted to work on fastball changeup today with Diaz, and we did that a great deal and got a lot of ground balls, soft contact, and we're ahead in the count with both those pitches. So executed our game plan today, so I'm very happy.
They're fourth, by the way. They were first just right. a week or so ago. They're now fourth. That is Kyle Freeland. The new and improved, remade Kyle Freeland, who made his debut yesterday, had a couple innings, gave up a home run. Mark, what went wrong with him last year? How does he go from being a 17-game winner to somebody who couldn't get people out at Albuquerque?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, Mike. I think that you lose command on your off-speed stuff, right? Because his fastball is not dominant enough to sneak by people or get by people. So you've got to be really good in the strike zone. You can't leave things center cut in the strike zone. You've got to be on the edges, down and up and in and out, on the edges with your fastball, and you've got to command your off-speed stuff. In command is off-speed stuff, and, you know, you get behind the count, and you got to leave one center cut at 93, 90, 92, 93, 94. It's going to get turned around, and it's going to go somewhere pretty hard. You know, you're going to get a seed hit off you. So I think that's ultimately what happened to him. I think the other thing is, you know, good pitchers get a lot of swings and misses on pitches that are out of the strike zone. And if you're looking at him saying, hey, his off-speed stuff, his slider, rarely does he ever dot that on the, you know, inside corner to a righty. Does he ever dot that slider down there? Usually it's on the back foot. Usually it's out of the strike zone. So we're just going to lay off that stuff. You know, you start to build a book on a guy. And now all of a sudden, if you don't change it and you can't throw that stuff for strikes, now you're in trouble. And I think that's what ended up happening to him last year. Next on the Morning Brew.
At this point, I'd be stunned if he returns to New England, to be very blunt about it. It is not as if Tom Brady is flirting with the possibility of free agency so we can ultimately come back with the Patriots. He is absolutely looking forward to free agency.
There's Jeff Darlington, who, with ESPN, he's very connected. He's on the Patriots beat all the time, and he says, according to his reporting and sources, that he would be stunned if Tom Brady returns back to New England. Here's the thing. I don't think it's a case of whether or not Tom Brady wants to return. I think the Patriots are ready to move on. I really do. They know they have to rip the Band-Aid off at some point, and I think they're prepared to do it now. They're certainly not prepared to go 2 years guaranteed $60 million with him.
And, you know, now's the time, by the way, because this takes away some of the onus on you, right? It mitigates the circumstances when all of a sudden you say, hey, Tom Brady's flirting with free. Like, he wants to have these opportunities. Like, do we want him back? Yeah, but come on now, right? So had you got rid of him a couple years ago and kept Jimmy Garoppolo instead, like, if that doesn't work out, everybody points the finger at you. Right now, it's Tom Brady wants to leave, and we can't do anything about that. So there, and now the Giants have jumped into the conversation. Have you heard all the? It's the Chargers, it's the Colts, it's the Giants, it's the Raiders. It's growing.
Titans. Well, here's a guy who supposedly is telling everybody wants to explore free agency. So when the report comes out that the Patriots haven't talked to him yet, people are like, "Well, they haven't even talked to him yet." Well, yeah, I mean, if the guy's determined to go to free agency, why am I going to talk to him? Go back, go out there, see what kind of offers you get, then come back and maybe give us a chance to make one last offer.
The Patriots are that emoji where you have both your hands up, you know, like this. You're like, what can we do?
What can we do?
Then we can't do anything.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I actually did ask for the times. Whenever I ran them, I ran off field. So if it felt good, I'll go back to the coach and ask him, did it look good?
What do you want to hit?
I'm trying to hit the lowest ever, so 4-2-2 or lower.
Henry Ruggs did not do that.
Alabama,
what a terrible combine he had.
All he did was run a 4.27.
Yeah, slow.
So, who had the better day, you think? Henry Ruggs or Justin Herbert? Did Justin Herbert do enough? Because all the reports are he wowed yesterday, right?
Mm,
he wowed.
Yeah.
He wowed at the underwear.
Big arm, yeah.
Okay, he's fast. Big arm. You think he did enough to jump over Joe Burrow and Tua?
No, I do not. But he definitely put himself in the conversation with those two.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
Yeah, and I have. Henry Ruggs had a great day. Everybody expected Henry Ruggs to have a great day. It matches the film. I think Herbert answered a lot of questions. Like, I think there were people on the fence, and you know how NFL scouts are. I mean, they're like Jerry Jones, you know, over Dez Bryant. They just start to drool. Like, a guy puts up some numbers, a guy shows his arm strength and then his speed. And even if last year, because you talk to anybody who covers the game, last year they'll tell you Herbert took a step back. He didn't play very well last year. But then, you know, you can start making your excuses. This is the excuse time of the year, too. This is why some teams stay mediocre. Because they'll be like, yeah, but he didn't have this, and yeah, but he didn't have this, and yeah, but yeah, he may be quiet, but he's got quiet leadership. And did you see him pat that guy on the butt? You know, he showed that he really can lead a team. Like, they will just start because they have such a desire. He's 6'6" and a half. He's got a 10-inch hand, and he threw it really far. Ooh. And 4'7", 140. He's elite. He's elite. That's my man D-Mac. He ran a 4.71. He's elite.
Well, understand.
Tom Brady couldn't run a 5.3.
Understand. D-Mac's agenda is to promote Josh Allen, and he's the one the Broncos should have taken. So, you know, pay no attention to the fact that Josh Allen ran an offense that was ranked 23rd in the NFL in points scored. But look at the athleticism. Yeah, look at the dumb plays Josh Allen made in the playoffs. Look at the dumb play. Even he, and this isn't me, it's him admitting, yeah, I did some pretty dumb things in the second half of that playoff game.
That's it.
I
actually like Josh Allen.
I like Josh Allen too, but let's not make him out to be something bigger than he is. And you know, Justin Herbert, you know, in their bowl game over Wisconsin. Had 3 touchdowns running. Like, you know, that's why you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round is because he, you know, scored 3 touchdowns running but he didn't throw a touchdown.
He's an elite quarterback. He ran a 4.71.
Yeah, exactly.
He's an elite quarterback.
Yeah. So which quarterback has the fastest?
RG3, 4.41.
Okay. Yeah. Clearly one leads automatically to another when it comes to automatic success. All right, that is the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. It's an Is It Just Me Friday. We'll get to some of your hot takes next. All right, this Is It Just Me Friday. Let's get to some stuff. Some good takes coming in from you. Let's roll through some of these. From Tristan, is it just me or is this best receiver class ever also the slowest? Sure. They'll run by me sitting on my couch, but how many NFL corners are they running by putting up high 4.5s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't really impressive, but again, like, there's a difference between underpants speed and real football speed. And I told you about Tyreek Hill talking to Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, who said, listen, man, like, I've been in this league for a long time. I've seen a lot of dudes that can run. There is nobody I've ever seen run faster in pads. And that's the key, in pads, than Tyreek Hill. I've never seen anybody faster than him. And I don't know. I mean, Tyreek Hill, I don't think, ran the fastest 40 at the combine in the combine history. That was John Ross. You know, there are guys who can really run, you know, and then there are guys on a football field that just have another gear. They just have another speed in pads. And so that's what you have to worry about. Jerry Rice was a 4.6 something guy, you know, and we talked about Terrell Davies running a 4.65. Nobody ever caught him from behind. They're just guys that have field speed and then the guys that have workout speed. And you gotta watch the film and make sure they match up, but I don't worry about,
you know, I mean, the difference between a 4.42 and a 4.5 flat, Mike, is really at the end of the day, if you superimpose the two, one on top of the other, it's literally about probably 14 inches of space. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just throwing a number out there. But when you start leaning on a guy and start using body, you know, body leverage and that, it's not like you run and buy dudes, even if you run that much faster.
Well, didn't Deebo Samuel have a touchdown this past year where he hit like 21 miles per hour?
Right.
Running down the sideline. It was one of the fastest measured times in the NFL, and he was a second round pick.
Right.
So, I get it. Speed matters. Okay. It does matter. But what kind of route runner are you? What kind of hands do you have? You know, do you know how to read defenses so that, you know, at the top of the route tree, you're on the same page as your quarterback and you guys both, you know, go to the spot that you're supposed to go? Or is the quarterback ended up throwing it one place and you've already zagged the other place? Right. So, I mean, there's so much more to it than just the speed, but I just keep coming back to the idea that it would be a real head scratcher for me for a Bronco team that has as many holes to fill as they do, that in a year in which everybody agrees this is the deepest wide receiver class ever, maybe, where there are legitimately three or four guys who will go in the second round, who under normal circumstances, normal years would go in the first round, that it's the Broncos, that's the year that they decide they're going to take a receiver at number 15 overall.
Right.
It would just be head scratching for a team that has as many holes to fill as they do.
Agreed. And obviously we're going to sit down.
And by the way, has as much second and third round ammunition to work with as they do.
Right. And as we all know, as we're sitting here right now, we understand that you look at this roster, there are a lot of holes to fill. We understand the free agency comes before the draft. So we'll see what holes they plug during free agency. The other thing, Mike, as I think is really important for the Broncos, this is just really important, understand the long view. I think one of the problems that they have had here as a franchise is plugging holes in the short term, like taking the short view. Like, we need to get to the playoffs this year. And by doing that, by saying, hey, we need a weapon for our young quarterback, so let's go get Henry Ruggs. You understand that both your tackles will probably be gone next year in 2021. So instead of taking the long view of, we got to patch this hole, we got to patch it for good so we don't have to continue to address it, right? Saying, hey, let's just go get speed. And that's the short view. And the speed will cure a lot of issues that we have on the offensive side of the ball, and it'll make us stretch the field, and we'll be able to get in that three wides, we'll be able to throw it deep, and we'll be able to make some big plays, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And that's the way you look at it, and that's going to get us to the playoffs this year. And then all of a sudden you got two more huge holes next year that you have to fill. Like, fill your holes, build your roster on the long view. Kind of the, what was the movie, If You Build It, They Will Come? By the way, you're right.
You owe me an apology.
I do owe you an apology, man. I was thinking that it was the trainer who was like, you can't win, but that was Adrian, right? Because the trainer was
Adrian at the top of the stairs.
Right.
Right after Apollo has died.
It was
He wants to fight. He wants to avenge
Apollo's. Yeah, Apollo's.
I mean, not before he fights. Is it before he fights Clubber?
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No, it is after he got beat by Clubber the first time. And she's like, you can't win. That's when the funky, you know, silly 80s music started rolling. He takes off on his bike, right?
Yeah, like he goes on a sojourn.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's a song by Survivor, probably.
It's probably Frank.
Because Survivor was doing all the stuff.
Well,
Survivor was doing all the song.
Frank Stallone, his brother was singing stuff.
Yeah, but I thought that was for Over the Top.
No, Frank Stallone did some stuff. Frank Stallone was in a couple of his movies.
Yeah, but I thought his song was for Over the Top.
I don't know.
I thought Survivor was like the...
I've already been wrong once.
Yeah,
but
I think Survivor...
I'm doubling down.
There were a lot of Survivor songs attached to Rocky movies.
Oh, there's no question there was a lot of Survivor songs. But I think Frank Stallone...
Eye of the Tiger?
The Thrill of the Fight?
Yeah, There's No Easy
Rising
Way Out?
Up.
There's no easy way out. Wasn't that
challenge of our rival?
Wasn't that Survivor? There's no easy way out. I thought it was Survivor. Is it just me?
I didn't have the soundtrack down, but you're right. The trainer, Apollo's trainer, gave the throw in the damn towel.
Right. I didn't want to embarrass you because there was no way that
maybe
Apollo's,
I was trying to get you on all real.
No. You can't do that anymore because you just say so many things wrong.
Calling me dumb. If the shoe fits.
Maybe we should wrestle to figure it out.
Yeah. Do you want me to show you
the Saturday Night Ride?
The move I used on a lot of high school wrestlers in Alaska.
Really?
Yeah, it's called the lateral drop.
Huh.
Yeah, I could
That'd make a great video.
Yeah, I could throw it on you right after the show.
Yeah. I haven't had my ribs busted in a while.
Well,
all right.
5 straight days without breaking anybody's ribs. Above and beyond.
OSHA loves us. Okay. It is and Is It Just Me Friday as we continue to roll through. Hey, anybody got some hot avalanche or nugget takes? I mean, what do you got? Bring it out. You know, don't just complain. Give us some hot takes. Next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.